Welcome to Political Coffee, your one-hour thought-provoking news and commentary as you begin your day. And now, here's your host, Jeff Kropp.
Welcome, everybody. A little politics with your coffee today, as we do every day on this show. I am your host, the erstwhile former state representative. Yes, I retired out of the House of Representatives after 8 years in the Marble Nut House, as we affectionately call it. That is the state capitol building. I am a fifth-generation Oregon farmer who has been busy involved in the hemp harvest. But I still not only live politics, but I care about it a whole lot because it is, well, just the future. It is our present. It is our past. And boy, is it our future. So what does the future hold for that? There's an interesting Willamette Week story today, and I want to talk about this with you. Here's the headline. More Oregon millennials identify as socialist than capitalist, a new survey says. The subheadline is, the survey also found that more Oregon men than women identified as capitalist. So we're seeing this play out, obviously, across America in many ways, in the urban areas, but Portland is especially interesting. Because Portland and the Multnomah County and Tri-County area drives the politics of the state in so many ways. And it is far, far left. Or is it? And if this is true, Oregon millennials identify as socialist and capitalist. Is that anything new? And I go back to a couple of questions arise. First of all, is it anything new? Go back to Winston Churchill. What did he say? That famous quote? He said, you know, when you're young, you're basically liberal. I'm just paraphrasing here. When you're older, you become more conservative. Why? Because life teaches you that, doesn't it? Or does it? Now, it's human nature. But can human nature be modified? Can history, the historical perspective of how people act and revolt against tyranny, are those timeless principles of liberty that I talk about all the time, those inalienable rights that are guaranteed in our Bill of Rights, in articulated in our Declaration of Independence and ensconced in our Constitution, are those things able to withstand the assault of socialism? Look at the presidential debates going on with the left, the Democrats. They cannot move far enough to the left, can they? Now, is this, you sort of expect that here, right? In Oregon, especially in the Portland area, right? This new survey was done by DHM. We'll talk about it. But it leads to even deeper questions. And frankly, it gets to the heart of why we do this radio show. It is simply that all of these things you believe as, and I hate to be just preaching to the choir here, but you are the choir. What do choirs do? Think about it. Choirs are typically religious-oriented musical groups. I used to sing in a choir, perhaps some of you do. And what do? Well, they praise and worship God. They sing songs. You've got your secular choirs that sing secular Christmas music and that kind of thing. Oh, that's all fine, well and good. But they exist for a reason, because music has this powerful impact in our lives. And choirs articulate people coming together to sing and generally praise God. Choirs are important because they prepare the rest of us who are not singing in the choir, but maybe who are singing with the choir, to do what? To receive a message from the pastor. But then what do we do with it? Now, I'm not saying, folks, that I'm your pastor, not by any stretch of the imagination, because I am a very flawed human being at times. And I am blessed, because of my Christian evangelical faith, to be saved by grace, to know that. And if you'd have seen me yesterday, folks, this hemp harvest business is really, really challenging at times. And I was challenged yesterday, and I didn't necessarily respond in the best of ways, for which, of course, I had to apologize. That's a little humble pie, but it's just the reality of it. So I'm not your pastor, but let's just say I'm a facilitator of discussions. About what? About how you can change your world, how you can live your principles, the values that you believe. And you do that by telling somebody else what you've learned, what you've experienced about political issues that get to the heart of human existence. And this study, which is really nothing new in my mind, about Oregon millennials, these are young people who are identifying more as socialist than capitalist. That's kind of human nature. When you're younger, you're liberal, right? When you're older, again, Winston Churchill, you become more conservative because life teaches you that. So how do you change your world? You are the choir. Yeah, I'm preaching to you to some extent about these things, but I'm hopefully getting you to think about. This is one of the reasons I take notes. I didn't used to, believe me. Most of my life going to church on and off over the years, I've not taken notes. So anything the pastor says goes in one ear, right out the other, basically. And that's why I go back now and I do take notes and I read and kind of review it during the week. And I think about it. I ponder it. That's what I'm asking you to do here. Ponder the political issues of the day in both Oregon and maybe nationally. And think about how you can help move, well, persuade the persuadables. That's what this is about, friends. 503-589-1220 is the Power Buick GMC talk line if you want to weigh in on this topic. And we'll also get to this Oregon Republicans. You know, turnabout is fair play, right? What's good for the goose is good for the gander, right? You got to love Senator Alan Olson from Canby, Republican, one of the magnificent 11 who walked out for 9 days. Well, he has now used the leftist mantra about an unsafe workspace against the senator who is responsible for the Me Too effort in Oregon, Sarah Gelser, Liberal Democrat from Corvallis. He's using it against her, the same things, accusing her and of the ruling Democrats of doing what? Creating fear and creating unsafe workspace. Now, you kind of chuckle at that, don't you? But isn't that kind of a little Trumpian? Isn't that kind of hitting back, using their own words and their own tactics and their own ideas? Because, again, it goes back to this Oregon millennials, right? Young people. Young people who, this is the other question to ask about this. At what point do enough of these young people figure out that liberalism in its modern sense, which is socialist, which is really communist in nature, at what point do they figure it out and they move to becoming more moderate or conservative? Or will they? Have we turned a corner in American political history? Can we come back? Can Oregon be saved? From what, you ask? From the evil of socialism. Now, why do I call it evil? Well, because it, you know people just intuitively by how they live their lives, right? The Bible puts it this way: by their fruits, you will know them. And the Bible also says, don't judge others. Right? That's true. But it also tells you to beware at the same time. Those two philosophies can exist. Don't judge others. Eternal salvation is really what that means. But by their fruits, the fruit of their life, you will know them. And the reason I say that is because, you know, when I get up early in the morning, you get up 4 o'clock in the morning to do show prep for the show. Right now I get up at 4 o'clock in the morning so I can start the hemp dryers and get to drying that hemp that creates that marvelous CBD oil, which makes your life better. And it does. It makes my life better. Vim Natural Supplements and Body Care down in South Commercial. It's the people I buy my personal CBD oil products from. Maybe you ought to check them out. They have the best CBD oil products around. It's called CannaShield. And it shields you. It really does. Shields you from lots of things. CannaShield. Sourced right here in the Willamette Valley. Right here in Oregon. Very high standard. You can be assured it's the best. Check out their website, vimsalem.com. Vimsalem.com. Those folks are capitalists. They're not socialists. I'm watching, before I go out to the dryers, Maria Bartiromo on Fox Business. She's identifying a multi-billionaire guy who said today that modern capitalism... Well, capitalism is dead, is what he said. Now, this guy's a salesman, folks. That's the first thing you need to understand. He's built an incredible business. His name is Mark Benioff. He is the creator of software that helps Salesforce. It's called Salesforce. Helps companies achieve better sales by using technology and software and some artificial intelligence and a number of other things to make it easier to sell things to people. So this guy is selling something. He is a San Francisco liberal. He says capitalism is dead. He says there's a new capitalism. This is one where you dedicate your business not to you who founded it. And this guy started a business with nothing, has built it into something like 40,000 employees, multi-billions of dollars in sales every year. And it's a good thing, but he says capitalism is dead. The new capitalism is you're in business to help other people. Is that why people go into business? You see, and I go back to this story in Willamette Week. By the way, you can see this if you go to OregonWatchdog.com. About this survey about millennials, here's the interesting story. A picture's worth a thousand words, right? Well, the picture is of the Democratic Socialists of America, the Portland chapter, which is growing by leaps and bounds. They are meeting at a Portland, what looks like a brewery, and the caption is they're celebrating Karl Marx's birthday. Now, these are the radicals from the 60s, folks, that were part of and have a long legacy, part of the radical transformation agenda of Barack Obama. What is interesting in this picture, they are eating at an establishment started by capitalists, people who put their own money on the line. Don't you find that ironic? Maybe they shouldn't be eating there at all. Maybe they should be all like using their own resources to come together in a potluck like we do at church. More on this when we come back at 6:20.
Call Jeff now at 503-589-1220. That's 503-589-1220. Let's return now to more of Political Coffee with Jeff Krupp.
22 minutes past the top of the hour, 503-589-1220 is the Power Buick GMC talk line. Emails to Jeff at 1220.am. Now, there is a companion story to this whole idea of Portland. Well, Oregon, young millennials here, according to this survey, by one percentage point. Okay, that's all it is. Now, the headline makes it bigger than what it really is. More Oregon millennials identify as socialist than capitalist, new survey says. Well, it's only by 1 point. DHM polled 400 Oregonians. Okay, 29% identified as capitalist, 30% identified as socialist. 41% really were neither or were unsure. Now, therein lies the battle, folks. That's the persuadables. You can persuade. This story, this national story, is, I got this off of Breitbart. There's an analysis. Here's the headline. Democrats represent the rich while working class flocks to the GOP. Now, this is research produced by the Wall Street Journal. Since 2008, when the transformational radical leftist, influenced heavily by the Democrat Socialists of America, seen in this Willamette Week story that are celebrating Karl Marx's 200th birthday, who are doing so at a capitalist, obvious brewery. Okay? Again, ironic. Since 2008, when Barack Obama was elected, Democrats got most of their votes from congressional districts with some of the least economic output. And towards those have moved, folks. In 2018, now Democrats largely represent voters who live in districts with the largest economic output, with only a sliver of low economic output. On the other hand, the story notes, Republicans have increasingly become the party of the nation's working and middle class, those living in districts whose economic output is relatively low or average. In 2018, Republican lawmakers, get this, do not represent a single section of the nation's highest economic output districts. Instead, their voter base is concentrated in the lower tiers of economic output. What does that mean? It means that the Democrats are very strong in wealthy liberal enclaves. And the poorest sections in the working middle class and the poor are represented now by Republicans. Now, that gets back to the story about, is capitalism dead? And the reason I ask that is because Mark Benioff of Salesforce is saying it's dead. Now, he has a book to promote, okay? He's being a salesman. He's being dramatic. But his new philosophy, shall we say, is that businesses should exist for their customers. Well, they do. But he's saying, no. The reason to own a business should be to share it with your customers, to share your profits, to share your ownership. Really? Is that what drives people to save up money or go borrow money, go deep into debt and start a business so they can just share it, to go through all the turmoil and the stress, to go share it and share all of your profits? You're doing it for your customers, the stakeholders, as Mark Benioff calls it. Is that the new socialism? Will people buy into it? These millennials. Now, Republicans are not representing the millennials in the major urban areas. And this story on Breitbart continues to just demonstrate the movement of what's happened since that time, since Obama got elected. It's in 10 years, it's completely changed, folks. Now, what does that mean for the future? It means Republicans' message is resonating in a way. But what about the conservative message? Now, it's obvious with the election of Donald Trump that making America great again resonated with people. Is that a conservative message? Well, I think in many ways it is, because I think it is again, it goes back to the philosophy of why we exist as a nation. And that is capitalism. What's the basis of capitalism? Liberty, folks. Truly, it is liberty. So is socialism not liberty? I say socialism is evil. The reason I say it's evil, because it destroys human initiative. This capitalist desire to see a need in the marketplace, go save some money, borrow some money, scrounge it up, work hard like Mark Benioff did to build a great company, who then now has socialist guilt because of where he lives, in San Francisco of all places. And now says that modern capitalism is, or that capitalism is dead, and the new capitalism is different. Is it? What motivates people? Now, these are questions you can ask in your quest to persuade the persuadables. Yeah, all these working class people, the 41% of Oregonians polled in this Willamette Week story who aren't sure whether they're capitalist or they're socialist. What do you think? Can Oregon be saved from these young millennials that someday are going to be voters in ever-increasing numbers? You see, when you and I are really old, these people are going to be serving on school boards and city councils. They're going to be voting in the legislature. What's that going to make Oregon look like? If they're socialist today, or is this just a trend? Is this a pendulum that swings back and forth politically? What do you think? 503-589-1220 is the Power of Buick GMC talk line. What is the philosophy between or behind all this? Send me an email. I'll read it on the air. Jeff at 1220.am. 6:30 in the morning. Be right back.
Jeff now at 503-589-1220. That's 503-589-1220. Let's return now to more of Political Coffee with Jeff Krupp.
It is 24 minutes till the top of the hour. In a moment, we're going to go to the phones. Quick question for you now in thinking about this. The question that we're talking about is this Willamette Week story about how Oregon, it's a survey, Oregon millennials by one percentage point are more socialist than capitalist. What does that mean for us in the future? What does it mean for our conservative values? Can we save Oregon as a whole, politically, from this move, this slide into the cesspool of socialism, I call it, which is communism, just dressed up. It is evil. Karl Marx was evil. What he has produced is a philosophy that's put in play today, right here in Oregon. And it ain't good. It ain't good if you believe in liberty. Now, in a moment, we're going to go to the phones here, but I want to share with you another little nugget out of this survey. You know what it is? 18% of the Republicans who were surveyed in this 400-person survey by DHM out of Portland, and it was all over Oregon, but they keyed in on Portland. Of the 400 people, 18% of the Republicans thought that America should be more socialist. What? Yeah. Now, why would Republicans think that way? Let me ask, pose you that question. There's an answer. Most of the Democrats in this survey thought that the, and I'm trying to look here for the number, because it was pretty astonishing. It was basically almost 90%. Excuse me, I'm wrong on that. I found it here. 60% of the Democrat respondents wanted to see America become more socialist. Well, 18% of Republican survey wanted the country to move toward socialism. You would expect that of the Democrats. I'm surprised the number isn't higher. But man, why would you expect this out of people who call themselves Republicans? Well, there's an answer. And it gave rise to Donald Trump, folks. Well, let's go to the phones. We'll start with Art. Art, good morning. What do you say?
Good morning, Jeff.
Morning.
I would say the education system is getting worse and worse because most of these people don't even understand what socialism is, what communism is, what capitalism is, what socialism is. And therefore, it's really hard to answer the question that was put upon them. You know, back in the day when I was in college, the first business class that you take in economics is 201, and it goes through communism and socialism and capitalism and all that kind of stuff, and you understand you know, more about business and why capitalism and those kind of things work as you progress through your education. Well, that isn't occurring anymore. So you're asking people questions when they don't have an understanding of the question and what is. I mean, capitalism has existed forever. Even
exactly. That's right. It is a human motivator. So, Art, let me ask you this question, because I think this is important. So how do we change that? If kids today, adults that are around us, have not been taught the true differences between socialism and capitalism, how can we influence others, persuade persuadables, using examples of that they'll understand? How do we do that?
Well, obviously, the point of understanding with each individual is different. And, you know, you just got to keep on talking about it until, you know, that you can at least think that they know what the hell they were talking about. I mean, in biblical times, they had bazaars, and they had, you know, where they sold and traded their wares to be able to get other things. And that's capitalism, yeah, plain and simple. And so, you know, it's just crazy the way things are getting. But obviously, you know, we
got to
do something about the educational system.
Well, so you're right about that. There's no question about it. And the way we do that is that we need to get people with the conservative principles elected to school boards, and then they need to change curriculums that are being taught by the Democrat socialists that come out of our teaching schools that are teaching our children. That's how we fix that. They need to stand up and not just acquiesce and listen to whatever the superintendent, whatever everybody else tells them, the curriculum directors, they have to teach to kids, because it's what you're teaching that matters. Art, thank you. I appreciate it. There's another way. And before we go to our next caller, there's another way. There's some hope for the millennials, and you might find this interesting. Maybe in some of the video games, there is hope that young people's brains will be influenced by capitalism, not socialism. I'll talk more about that on the other side of this conversation with Rebecca. Rebecca, good morning. What do you say?
I called in because several years ago I was attending hearings about public-private partnerships where the government is giving loans to people, and I was attending those because of Oregon Citizens Lobby and reading the bills that were coming through, and I was concerned about how the bills were reshaping our society. The government creating a framework of law that that changes the people who are making loans to be debtors to the government, and that's how I'm not real good at money, but it seems to me that that's how Obama was taking over things, was he was going in and saying, we're going to come and rescue you because you've taken government money. And so this public-private partnership stuff really concerns me. And I need somebody to explain it to me in a good way, but it seems to me like using what appears to be a capitalist system, but is actually the government having... The Bible says that the borrower is the slave of the lender. So so we are all slaves of the government when we have our system where we borrow the money from the government.
Yeah, and they're always, with that money comes strings, government bureaucratic strings about how you can spend that money. And unfortunately, they're often misguided. Not always, but often. And every now and then you'll come up with a very prominent success story, Rebecca, about public-private partnerships. But I get your point, and I agree, because public-private partnerships are partially socialistic. Rebecca, thanks for your call. And here's how they are partially socialistic. Because government, for instance, has to help a private company, oh, say, like, what we talked about yesterday, Elon Musk with subsidies. So what did we talk about yesterday? Elon Musk, SpaceX, his space exploration company, gets $5 million so that, well, Elon Musk can assure the federal government that his employees are not smoking dope, believe it or not. Now, that's a different form of public-private partnership. SpaceX is... well, they are doing some good things. They are competing, at least in part, against Jeff Bezos in his space exploration company, which is a privately funded operation. Now, Bezos still gets subsidies too, but my point is that Rebecca mentioned something about bailing people out. Remember Chrysler and Lee Iacocca when Chrysler was basically broke and should have gone totally bankrupt? Government bailed them out. Lee Iacocca came in and dramatically changed everything. And the company resurged and they paid off the government. That is one of those rare success stories where probably in a true free market, and Lee Iacocca made this point in his book about his life on this thing, is that, you know, if Republicans had been in control, they wouldn't have done this. Democrats, and he was a Republican, folks. Democrats are the ones who loaned Chrysler the money. It only worked because of a Lee Iacocca. Think about all of the other spectacular failures, like Solyndra under Obama and so many others. For every success story that has a socialist viewpoint, far more failures. Is that the ultimate income? And when we come back, I'll tell you how young millennials might be influenced to actually believe more capitalist. Back in a moment.
Call Jeff now at 503-589-1220. That's 503-589-1220. Let's return now to more of Political Coffee with Jeff Krupp.
It's 10 minutes till the top of the hour, or you can send me an email, by the way, to jeff@1220.am. I'm a little behind on the podcast, by the way. I'll get caught up eventually. This hemp harvest thing is just sort of taking over a lot of my life right now, folks, but it's all for a good reason. It's for CBD oil, and you should definitely check out the folks at Vim Natural Supplements and Body Care down on South Commercial. Couple of quick emails, and then I'm going to get to the tease I teased you with. But how I think there might be some hope for the millennials that are listed in this Willamette Week story, who by one percentage point think socialism is better than capitalism. Dwight had written me an email about Kate Brown's gold mine. You know what it is? Well, it's the Oregon Lottery's new online sports betting, right? Their new online app. Dwight's email says, off and running, question mark? And then he quotes Matt Shelby, the Oregon Lottery spokesman, who said, well, the lottery's website crashed the day before the launch, but it isn't related to the app. Yeah. A state employee who shall remain nameless wrote me an email. Socialism is evil, question mark? This person writes, millennials have been indoctrinated in their ignorance to believe that socialism leads to justice. It's not evil. It is the pathway to exercise justice, equality, to right the wrongs of the world and elevate the poor, marginalized, and helpless. The majority of millennials may identify themselves with socialism because the message they have been taught and believed to be true about socialism has targeted their hearts. Conservatives must interact with, engage, and communicate with emotion and passion to millennials to show them, not just tell them, why conservative values are the true pathway that provides opportunity for all to find the life they deeply long for themselves and for those who are less fortunate and marginalized. Bingo. That's precisely what Republicans as a party have not been communicating. And it is certainly what conservatives have failed to communicate. Because not everybody in the Republican Party is conservative, by the way. Again, I go back to this DHM study in Willamette Week. 18% of the Republicans said, yeah, we should move more towards socialism. If they understood the outcome of socialism versus capitalism, in that its basic impact is it doesn't make your life better. It doesn't right the wrongs of the world. It doesn't elevate the poor, the marginalized, or the helpless. Look at every one of these socialist slash communist nations. Only the ruling elites have a decent or a good life. Rest of them don't. Lee wrote me an email, proof is in the pudding, is the headline. He says, Grandpa said the darndest things. I've looked in the pudding and found pudding. I would like to see any of these people who believe socialism is the way to show us they do as they say. Build a business to give it all away. Yeah, the ignorance of owning a business is in that statement. The majority of 15 to 35-year-olds haven't a clue what work ethics mean, who the government is. They aspire to live like the wealthy entertainers, yet have no idea how the entertainer rose to their position. Yes, Oregon can change, but it will take all of us that do understand to educate that capitalism is the fair, feel-good-about-yourself model to follow. Yeah, it is. So here's the tease, remember? How can these young millennials be saved? Well, of all the crazy things, I think there are online, these video games, these online gaming, there are games that teach capitalism. Now, they teach some other bad stuff, too. They teach capitalism. You see those Forge of Empires commercials? That's an online video gaming experience. In essence, what's behind it is building something. And it starts with the most basic of things, and this is what some, you know, both Art and Rebecca had mentioned. The most basic things, like from the beginning of time, man has been capitalist. You traded one thing for the others. Well, they do that in this video game. Modern versions of Monopoly is really kind of what these video games are. Kids are playing them, and their minds are being influenced by the fact that, yeah, you trade, you build. That's capitalism, folks. It isn't socialism. That, to me, I think, frankly, just opens the door to some salvation for these people, for these millennials who've bought into the lie of socialism. Now, I want to say something before we go about the other story. State Senator, Republican State Senator Alan Olson from Canby, has accused Democrats, including top legislative leaders, of making it uncomfortable for Senate Republicans to return to work after they staged their 9-day walkout. He has lodged a number of formal complaints against his Democrat colleagues for creating a hostile workplace. Isn't that kind of interesting? Isn't that turnabout is fair play? Now, some of these have already been dismissed, but he alleges Democrat Senate Majority Leader Jenny Burdick's comments that Republican walkout was an act of terrorism, precipitated a hostile workplace. Now, how do Democrats deal with this? They hired lawyers for $505 an hour to look into the complaints. He also filed a complaint against Sarah Gelser, Democrat of Corvallis. He accused her of bringing distrust and fear onto the Senate floor and acting with disdain. Now, you may chuckle at this, but isn't this a little bit Trumpian? It's pushing back, and it, frankly, is using the left's tactics against them. Trump does this a lot. Sometimes you don't like it. Sometimes I don't like it. But it works. In the world of politics, it works. Doesn't mean that it's maybe the best way to do it, but it works. Alan Olson is doing the same thing. I applaud him for doing that, because I think it's the right thing. Use their laws and their tactics to hold them accountable. After all, what's good for the goose is good for the gander. Start your car. Get moving, folks. Thanks for joining us today. I'll be back tomorrow. I hope you will be too. Make it a great day.